Our subject today in the Word is on the subject of edification.
You're awesome.
Edification. And the meaning of that word, to build. It's used 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Let's turn there for our text. 1 Corinthians 14. We have a new brother here this morning, an Uber driver maybe. Is it Garrett or Lyft or whatever? Yeah, new guy down front here. Lyft driver, praise the Lord. Hey, weren't those little ones up on the stage precious? And their moms and dads. Wow, when you look at that, you look at those young people and just care about them in our hearts, and what a honor it is that they honor God by bringing their children to God and saying, God, bless them. It's beautiful. Our life of faith is unusual because none of us have seen God. But we have seen Christ in the Gospels. And in the Holy Spirit, we have seen him. Galatians 3, verse 1. Listen to this. He wrote to the Galatians. Where were the Galatians living? Where is Galatia? It was in Turkey, yeah. And when was it written? 55 AD, maybe. 52, somewhere there. 30 years after Jesus was crucified, where was Jesus crucified? In Jerusalem. Where were the Galatians? Some of them weren't even born yet. It happened in 32 AD in Jerusalem. But this is what Paul said to the Galatians, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was crucified for you. So, They saw Christ crucified for them. How did they see that? They weren't there. They were in Galatia, or they weren't even born yet. But by the preaching of Paul, they saw that Christ was crucified for them. It was the Holy Spirit that did that. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you are regenerated, you are born of the Spirit. We were soul winning yesterday at Penn Station here in Baltimore. And I said to this man, he gave me all the time I wanted. And so I just talked to him about the Lord. And I said, when you are born again, you have a new heart given to you and new spirit. And you love God. You start to love God and worship God. But we haven't seen him. But we don't have to see him. We love him. Whom you have not seen, you love. Unto you which believe, he is precious. Very precious, but we haven't seen him. But we know him. That's our calling. We have a new heart, new spirit. And God teaches us his word, and we are, listen to the word now, we are, by being with God, we are edified. If you take that edification away from people, and you have something else that happens, I don't have a new heart, I don't have the Spirit of God, so how do I make my friends, I find my circle. I belong to a group, I'm with a group. But what do they talk about in the group? What are they talking about? What are they believing, and what are they doing? Is it edifying? Is it for the believer, is it edifying? And the answer is no, it isn't. So where do I get edified? How does it happen? By just being with people or watching the news or movies or music or people that I like or whatever. There is chatter, there is talk, there are activities, but does it edify me? It may wear me out. It may discourage me. Or I may be happy, but not holy. I may be preoccupied with something just to dull the pain of life, but not really find divine purpose, not really know God and live by faith and have divine purpose. So many people in this world are not edified, but they are occupied. They are entertained, amused. You know that word amusement? Do you know what it means from the English, Old English? What is musing? Thinking, musing. I'm meditating, I'm thinking. What is amusing? Not thinking. Not thinking. Amusement isn't where you are thinking, but you are entertained, feeling. You are preoccupied with pleasant feelings or amusement. That's fine, but and we do need it or we have it in life. But is it edifying? That's the word I want you to think about. Is it edifying? Is it real? Does it have any weight? Is there value in it? Is it provoking me in my heart? Is it stirring me up in faith? When Jesus came into the world, if you were with Jesus for one day, you would find it to be edifying. And so turn now to this chapter, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3. This is about your church life and fellowship with each other. He that prophesieth, the word means the Bible, the word of God. It also means predicting the future. But somebody could have a prophecy about the future, but that's not as weighty as the Bible. For the Bible is really the word will never pass away. Heaven and earth will, but not the word. Jesus put such high regard on the word, but the world doesn't. The world is in different degrees of unbelief. And in being in unbelief, God gives them over to another degree of unbelief. And that's called adokimos. It means rejected. It means turning over to. It's giving them up. God takes people that he loves and that he died for that are in this world, and they are not coming to God, but denying God or are careless about God, or not drawn to God, and so they are given over to evil imaginations. In their evil imaginations, they invent and they have various habits and practices that God gives them over to. And this is in Romans chapter 1. And then he gives them up in verse 24, verse 26, verse 28. And he gives them over to a very strange way. In our mind, it's just it's a fallen nature. It's a strange way of living. And in giving them over, the word means that they are rejected, taken to the, they're thrown away. Their lifestyle just leads them into the darkness. And so there are perversions. And in our culture, Western culture, we have turned away, generally speaking, turned away from God. And God has given us over to you know, the world has, our society has been given over to very strange, evil imaginations and perversions. So that's happening in our world. And we are watching it happen. And it's strange to us. But God is saying, their state of mind is not edifying. It's not edifying, but it is amusing, it is entertaining. There is a lot of pride, a lot of activity, there's a lot of movies about it. There's a lot of, just immoral and non-traditional ways of living that is happening in our world. Is it edifying? No, it isn't. Talk to those people that are living like this. And I asked Pastor Steve to check in the internet. How many Hollywood award ceremonies are taking place in a year in Hollywood, like the Oscars and the Emmys and all these different ones? I don't know the names of them and I don't care about it. But how many? He said 110. Why do the people in Hollywood congratulate each other so much? Why are they pulling up in a limousine with a tuxedo on and they want the cameras and they want the newspapers? And why are they doing that? They're not edified. They're not made to be the way they are. They don't know truth. That's what edifies us. That's the reality that builds us up in the inner man. That's what you are hungry for. And that's why we assemble. Because God is the ultimate edifier. He is the one that loves you and cares about you and speaks to you. He is the one that knows your deepest need. He is the one that talks to you. So here it says in the verse 3, it says, he that prophesies or preaches from the Bible speaks unto men to edification. That word means it's building up, especially in a moral or spiritual sense. It's instruction. We also have let's go back to read the verse again, please. He speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So when I go to the church, this is what I want to happen to me. I want to feel in my spirit edified, because God does that for us. He told the disciples, fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure. The Father loves you. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, follow me, I will make you a fishers of men. When we follow him and we come to the cross, that's when we want to go away from him. But you go to the cross by faith and you stay there and you are a worshiper of God, and God builds you up in your inner man. And you recognize this is reality. This is true. This is edifying. When I come to the church, I'm not coming to be amused. There's a story about Handel writing the Messiah, and he won the admiration of many of the great. And this one lord took him aside to pay him some compliments on his writing the Messiah. And he said that this noble entertainment which you brought to our town has been a great source of entertainment for people. And Handel said, "I would be sorry if I only entertained them. I wish to make them better." I think another way of saying it is, I don't want to be an entertainer. I want people to find Christ. I want Jesus to be ministering to them. And the way Jesus ministers to people, unfortunately, many mega churches, they move to entertain the Christian. But we are not after entertainment, we are after something deeper, and that's edification. That means that I feel in my heart, God is for me. God is my father. God is my friend. God is close to me. God cares about me. God forgives me. God speaks to me. God washes my feet. God carries me. God says, cast your care upon me, anxiety. Cast your anxiety on me because I care for you. This is edifying. I went, as many of you know, I went to a small Bible school up in Maine, like some of us here. And this is a long time ago, but I went to a small Bible college, and I'm from New York, and I was up in Maine, and I didn't know anybody, and it was kind of different for me to be there and how it was and everything. And now I remember, but there's one thing that I knew was happening. We even met in the cellar of a church. I mean, in the church's kitchen room, or you know, the facility for the fellowship room. We were there, and the tables that we had were kindergarten tables, so they rested on our knees, and the legs of the tables didn't touch the floor, and we were in these little chairs. And this was our Bible school. And the pastor was saying, and we want to bring the gospel into all the world. And there seemed to be like a contradiction of worlds. We're going to bring the gospel into the world, and my kindergarten table is sitting on the top of my knees. But what happened in that school? Edification. You can do this. I am for you. God speaks to you. It's not by might or power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Edification is invaluable. And how does it happen? It's a few things, few elements. Number one, it's the new heart. You see, somebody could say, I used to live an immoral life. I slept around town with different girls, and I partied, and I Friday night, and I lived like that, and every Friday and Saturday, and Monday was a bummer. And have you ever noticed when you get born again, it's no longer a calendar like Friday night was great and Monday morning was bad? Have you noticed? When you get born again, that calendar is gone. And there's something in your heart by the Holy Spirit on a Friday that is holy, that is pure, that is true. And on a Monday morning, that is holy, that is true, and that is pure. And you start to look for edification. I want to be edified. Now, the world is not edified, but they are entertained and amused. But they can't make hard decisions. They have a very hard time. It's very hard for them. They just go with the crowd. And they do what's popular. Or there was a research done on this with the Pastor Siraji, brought it out to me, and we looked it up on the internet, and they took three actors. One person didn't know what was going on. They had a teacher, and they put these lines on the board, and they had one short, and they asked the people, the four of them, and the three knew they were going to lie. And then they would ask the four, so the three, you know, which line is shorter? And he gave the wrong answer, wrong answer, wrong answer. And the fourth guy, he gave the wrong answer too. But even though he knew that I'm giving the wrong answer, I don't want to go against the other three. I'm afraid of being embarrassed. I'm afraid of being ashamed. I'm afraid I'm not going to be part of the group, or maybe there's something wrong with me. It's like a very interesting study. But this is how people live in the world. Like something wrong is okay. Like this is wrong. It's in our mind, in our imagination, and it's okay. And actually the world is changing. Do you know what? Somebody said, that Christianity, that doesn't go for today. And you know what the answer is? It has never been for any age. There's never been an age in history that would say, that's what I want. It is never. There's never been a time when it fits. It doesn't fit. In the beginning, every time, it doesn't. It's not about it fitting in our culture. It's about something extraordinarily outside of our culture. It's a new heart that we didn't have, and a new spirit, and a new mind. It's a new understanding. It's God. God in man. What could be greater in life than for God to edify you and build you up in your heart and say, I love you and I satisfy you. Now, this woman at the well had five husbands and she worshiped. And Jesus said to her something very direct. He said, you worship, but you don't know what, in verse 22. There's a lot of people that are worshiping, but they don't know what. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they're worshiping. It doesn't even matter to them. It's just some kind of a program that they have, but there's no reality there. But when you are born again, now you worship and you know who He is, because He's written this to you. He walks on the water. He calms the sea. Raises the dead, heals the sick, opens the eyes of the blind, casts out demons, talks to the disciples, parables and speeches and teachings and instruction. We know who He is. Do you know who you worship? Yes, I do. And He's changed my life. And I am now satisfied. You ask these people here, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? Is it good? It says in the Bible that the wrath of God is on this world. It's here. Have you seen it in the newspaper? Have you seen it on the street? Have you seen it in the statistics of the human race? Have you seen the wrath of God that is on man? And what is He saying by the wrath of God? He's saying, come to Me. Come to Me. I will pour My Spirit out on you, and I'll make My word known unto you. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Come to Me, I will bless you. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Hear Me. Hear Me. It'll be given unto you according to your ear, your new ear. And that's how we are edified. So look at verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. What's better? Words that are not understood or words that are understood? Words that are understood. And that Paul said that there would be in the church edifying. Verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Sometimes a song is sung. A little group of us, we may sing a song on a street corner or in our home. With a group in a small Bible study group, we sing a song. And it's our spirit and our heart are saying amen. A psalm, a doctrine, a revelation, an insight in the Bible. We come to hear it because that little piece, I can take it. I'm living by faith because by the word, faith comes. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So we are edified. We are called to be edified. We are called to be built up. Let me read this to you. Encouragement and consolation, though with edification focus, falls on the goal. The goal when we assemble, and we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Wow. We assemble, but some do not assemble, as you see the day approaching. Have you seen the day approaching? I see the day of Christ approaching, and so we assemble and not forsake the assembly. But as you know, because of this past year and what we've gone through, that churches have closed down. They are not assembling. We can't have that. Because I need edification. If I don't get edified in my new man, I will look for amusement with my old man. My old man will gravitate to the dust, Psalm 119. But my new man is drawn to faith. And I want to lift up holy hands or confess truth, respond to God, believe that God has something for each and every one of us that transcends the world that we live in. Therefore, my thinking is important. That's why the doctrine is important. My thinking. So I'm over here watching the TV for hours. There's movies, there's news, there's information. I've got my phone. I check my phone. I'm doing Instagram and other social media, and for hours, and then I go to bed, and I fall asleep. I go to sleep. I wake up, and I'm a little nervous or worried, and I check my phone, and I'm living in this world where this is governing my life. Like, this is affecting my mind. This is not edifying. It's information, but it says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So that means that I've got to be some maybe radical decision maker. I'm shutting off the TV. I'm not listening to that stuff now. I know what the world is. I already explained it. I know what the world is. They are given over to. They are embracing this fallen nature. They have no interest in God. They don't care at all about what we're talking about. They cannot receive it. The natural man does not receive the things of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They don't get it. So that's their world. But I live in that world. But as I live in that world, I am edified by the Holy Spirit. He edifies me by the body of Christ. He edifies me by the meditation of his word. And I get in my heart and in my mind, I start thinking in faith. And I get excited about it. I'm edified. Then I see you, and you edify me. How does that work? It goes, edification is the special responsibility of the various church leaders, Ephesians 4:11-12. When we come here, there's one thing on our mind. That is not to feed over here in this amusement or entertainment or in the problems or whether you hear on the news or you have in your families or whatever, and all that happens in life. Okay, we all have our stresses and all that stuff, but I want to be edified. I want Jesus Christ to come to me in such a way that he builds me up in joy, in truth, in freedom. I want him to speak to my heart and help me. I want him to minister to me. I need it. Remember, Jesus came to Peter to wash his feet, and Peter said, "Oh, no, not me, Lord, not me." And, you know, it's kind of like, those other guys, sure, go ahead, but not me. No, I'm not taking that. He said, if I don't do it, then I don't have anything to do with you. If I don't do it, that means that this new life is a life where we receive grace, where God is our servant, where God is loving us. That means our new life is one of edification. And he says, you know, I know your worry, but cast it on me, because I care about you. Cast your anxiety on me, and I care. And by the way, stop, make decisions in your mind as to what you're going to focus on. Because I am God, and there's nothing in this world that can compare to me. But you haven't seen me. But are you seeing me? Are you understanding? Are you being drawn to me? Okay, finishing here, it says, the church leaders have the primary responsibility of edifying the body and is the legitimate context for the exercise of their authority. Like, we have authority, but it's for your edification. It's for the mystery of the fellowship. It's to build you and I up in the faith. That's what authority from God is for. It's to lead us. It's to give us a clear sound. That the trumpet blast would be a clear sound in Numbers chapter 10, and we would know what is happening. But the work of building up is the work of all Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Spiritual gifts are given for the edification of the church. That means all of us, we have gifts, and they are for us to edify. It's fun. You know, you're with a brother or sister, and the Spirit is between you. Jesus said, "Where two or three gathered in my name, there am I in your midst." That's fun. That's a joy. What should we do? What are we doing? We'll say something, just maybe be quiet. Maybe we're just quiet. I know your heart is my heart. Your heart, we have the same heart. We have a heart of faith. The sad thing is when I'm with a brother or sister and they want to draw me over to the garbage can over here. I have a brother and sister in the Lord, and we could be edified in the faith, but they want to draw me into something that's not right, or something not good. So you don't want to be that kind of a believer that would do that. But you want to be that kind that would say, no, I'm not interested in that. No, I think God has something great for us. That's a great thought. I believe God has something great for us. I believe God is doing something. I believe we have a future. I believe that God can move a mountain, that God can answer a prayer. Let's take a mom who's a single mom raising a couple kids. Do you think she needs edification? A mom like fighting for her life and her kids, and she loves them, and does she need edification? Yeah, but what kind? Maybe all she has is the TV and Instagram. Is that going to do it? Is that going to help? Is she going to be edified? No, she's going to be maybe lonely, maybe empty, maybe hurting, maybe needy. And her whole life can be hinged on this one thing, that she doesn't get edified. Her whole life, I mean, it's all hinged on Christ. She isn't edified. She just gravitates to people that will love her or accept her. People that are not really, where will it bring me? It's like the drug dealer said, you know, I got this amazing drug, and for you, the first one is free. For you, I like you, the first one is free. There's a proverb on that. It says, the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. I got a free drug for you, even the second one. You come back and see me, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I care about you. I know we're friends now. I care about you. They would never say, I love you, of course. But what is that? That's dangerous. That's not a gift. It says about, another proverb says, the gift of God, whichever way you turn it, is beneficial. Any way you turn, it's like a diamond cut. Any way you turn it, it sparkles. So the gift of God, but in the world, the gift they give you, it's shining on that side, and when they turn it, it's a curse. It's not edifying. You lie down in sorrow. It's not the answer for your life. That's why church life is the greatest thing going on in America. The greatest thing going on in this world is where you find yourself edified by Jesus Christ. The greatest power that is happening in the world is when God is visiting his people and is with his people to edify them in the faith. The greatest thing going in human history has been Jesus Christ's church being edified and used by God to glorify him and to say he is real. But our message has got many sides. But any way you turn it, it's awesome. It's sweet. It's what I need. It's the reality. It's in my spirit and in my heart. It's Christ. That's what people need. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid to be honest with you that the world is suffering. And they don't have edification. They got the Emmy Awards, or they got a car, or they got a friend who's going to cheat them later. They don't have the reality. But you have. That's why we assemble. Let's finish up. It says, of these gifts, those which involve speaking are especially important. Acts 20, verse 32. Ephesians 4:29. All elements of Christian worship should contribute to edification. Like when we sing in the beginning, when we hang out afterwards. I remember years ago, about 16, 17 years ago, in this church, when service was over, everybody was out of here. They were out of here. They left. There were some mean things happening. There was disunity. There were problems. There were some angry people. There was a trial that we went through as a church. I remember that. But now it's different. When church service is over, we can't get you out of the room. Ushers, ushers, you know, empty the room, please. No, they're not leaving. They love each other. They're talking to each other. Why? Why? What's going on? Because we're occupied with Jesus Christ. We are listening. We are loving. We are talking. We are loving each other. We can sit quietly, and it's edifying. Just to sit quietly with people that have love in their hearts, in the spirit amongst us. That's edifying. Don't ever lose that principle in your life, because you might say, I did what I did. I'm disappointed with myself. I have sinned. I am disappointed with myself. I'm developing bad and I'm saying, it may be that that's happening in your heart because you are not making hard decisions about your mind and your heart. Be with God's people, and because they have the heart, the new heart of Jeremiah 17. Speak the word to each other. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And believe God for your life. I remember I used to think about the world and say, wow, it would be amazing if we had like phone calls. This is back, you know, many years ago. Even you could call Russia. That would be amazing. You could talk to somebody in the faith in Russia. I actually dreamed about that. I actually dreamed about it, and it happened. It happened. But that thought was edifying to me. It wasn't happening, but it was edifying. Maybe that will happen. Or maybe some young man could say, maybe one day God could use me in some way. Or some young lady could say, maybe God will use me in some way. That thought is edifying. That's possible. Maybe God would do that. That's the life of faith. That's possible. Maybe I should go to Bible college. Maybe I'm gravitating to this and I'm living in this, and it's very disappointing to me. And maybe there's a better way to live than fighting with my flesh. Why can't I grow up in my faith, mature in my faith, and be edified in my faith and be part of an edifying experience? Lastly, it says, prophecy or Bible teaching and instruction are especially important. Edification, listen to this, is not talk, however, but involves demonstrating love. I believe you and I have been in with people, and maybe we weren't talking, but it was just edifying. They loved. They had love in their heart. It was there. It was in the car. It was in the fellowship. It was in the visitation in their house. It was in the Bible study. It was just edifying. It was love. The simplest expression is what I need. Any day of my life, I need a friend. I need somebody that will love, just because that's the nature of God. And that's how we now live. Every one of us have a friend. Every one of us have a fellowship. Every one of us have God as our Father. Every one of us have a future in that new heart and new mind and new way of living. And so don't feed the other one. Don't feed this one. Walk away from it and learn how to live. Listen, the world is not going to get better. It's a dokimazo. It's turned over to this. It's going to be this way. But I am not going to live in that. I will make my decisions. What poetry I read, what history I read, what books I read, what things I listen to, what friends I have, how I live, what faith I exercise, how I live, what I believe in, that's my call. That's my mind. That's my decision. And if I say, I don't agree with you, I don't want that, that's not in my life, nor in my children, nor my grandchildren. Okay, best that I can do. That's not in my world. Thank you very much, but I'm not into that. Well, what are you, old-fashioned? I'm Amish, I say. Sometimes I say, I'm Amish, okay? I'm Amish, leave me alone, okay? I'm an Amish person from Pennsylvania. I am weird. I am different. I am not like you. I'm not interested in that. That's not how I live. That's not how my family lives. And that's not how I want my kids and these precious kids that were on the stage. That's not how we want those kids. They've got a challenge in front of them. And we know that they're in great families, and we are praying and believing God for what they need ultimately in life is what? Edification in truth. Okay? Amen. That's all. Jesus. Not with arrogance or pride, or nobody in this world is any better than anyone else. But you make a difference between the Jew and the Egyptian. You make a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. And that difference has come by your grace as a gift through Jesus Christ, who changed our hearts. And we are hungry for edification. Sometimes in my maybe a discouraging time, I draw near to the body, not away from the body. Sometimes I call a friend and just enjoy the lightness of it, the peace, the joy of having a friend. As a single mom in trouble with my family, I need God to edify me. And I need help from God and the plan of God, the way of God. Yes, Jesus. Maybe somebody listening to me hasn't started your Christian life yet. You haven't yet believed and trusted in Christ. Do that today. Why risk another day? You could be in eternity before nightfall. So come to Christ this morning by faith and say, Jesus, save me. That's needed to be heard everywhere. When you come to the end of yourself and you say, I need something else, I need something else, I need God in my life. And when you have him, wow. Satisfying. So say, Jesus, save me. And then anyone raise your hand, the ushers will give you a booklet, anyone at all in the auditorium. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus, anybody? Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.